It's a good, both a good chazara topic, because it is going to involve drawing upon certain things that were spoken about over the course of the year. So it's helpful to that extent. It's also good because there are close to things which we're less likely to get to at this point. You know, it would be nice if you could devote large amounts of time to every klal within Shabbos, the same way we spent time on Lashon Shechivu for integration and the like. But since we won't necessarily have time to do that, so this gives us a little bit of a Pesach to talk about some of these ideas within the framework of the subject as well. So within all of that, we'll talk a little bit about Malachas Machshavah. And a theme that is central to understanding all of, to understanding really all of Hilchos Shabbos. But with all that, it's mysterious. We don't really have a clear definition in Shas of what Malachas Machshavah is, nor is it even something which, in the context of the Torah, is even told to us about Shabbos. Right? It's one of the many things that is derived out of a connection to the Mishkan. And if you recall, the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga has a tmiyah on this, about how Hilchos Shabbos are so not explicit in the Torah. There's so much that we have to rely on Chazal to convey to us, including not just the details and not just the rules themselves, but just the very existence of Malachas Machshavos. And if you know that Malachas Machshavos exists, you still have enough to figure out. But just to tell us at least the Malachas Machshavos is a standard for Shabbos, even that is derived through the connection to the Mishkan, and that's something that the Gemara in Chagiga comments on, about how Shabbos really is, to an unusual degree, left to tradition, to Torah Shebaal Peh, to fill in the gaps. So even, let's say, we acknowledge that we know the Malachas Machshavos exists, so there is a lot of mystery surrounding it. And what we'll try to do, and I'm going to guess this will probably take us about 2 days, probably today and a little bit next week, we'll talk about trying to figure out what Malachas Machshavos means and what is its impact on Hilchos Shabbos. And we have to try to sort out different elements from each other. We know that there are times when the Gemara tells us that there's a din and that Malachas Machshavos is the reason. There are times when the Gemara tells us a din, and later Svarim, whether they are Rishonim or Achronim, tell us Malachas Machshavos is the reason, and that it may be one out of a number of opinions. And then there are times when the din itself is a chiddush of post-Talmudic literature, is a chiddush in the Rishonim or in the Achronim, and if it's a chiddush based on Malachas Machshavos. So we need to sort through all of that in order to try to figure out some type of a cohesive theory as to what Malachas Machshavos is. So again, we need to be able to figure out what is it that the Gemara is telling us, what is it that's being imposed on the Gemara, what is it that's being created completely or innovated completely by a later Svarim, in order to try to figure out what is by necessity a part of the theory or what may or may not be a part of the theory. So, as with Malachas himself, we start off trying to get some type of a translation. So how can we translate into English the phrase Malachas Machshavos? What does it mean? Sammy?
So you can translate
Right, so the first thing that comes to mind is that it has a relation to Machshava, has a relationship to the word that we use for thought. Okay, so therefore, what does it mean? It means Malacha that is thoughtful, that is thought about, that is expressed through thinking, or do we not necessarily know what it means?
I don't think we know. I mean, I think the most obvious is fulfilling, doing the Malacha that you want.
So thought in the sense of plan, your desire.
Yeah.
Okay. Could it mean anything else? Michael?
Melacha that involves like an artisan craft.
Okay, so you're aware that that is a theory that seems to emerge certainly from Rishonim and from later Svarim. Are you saying that because you've seen the Rishonim say this, or are you saying that because... Okay, context. Okay, so maybe because since this is specifically coming to us from the Mishkan, so maybe we can look at the Mishkan and say, all right, look, the Mishkan is clearly, there's an emphasis here on this not being a normal everyday kind of thing. And again, this is the perfect weeks to be talking about this. Right, so we know that the Mishkan, clearly, we're told we had to get Bezalel and Aholiab and people who are really talented to be involved. So if the Mishkan is going to be our standard, so maybe it makes sense that whatever the Mishkan is identified with, that is going to highlight something artistic, something professional, perhaps. Maybe that's a better word, something professional, a work that is worthy of a craftsman. Okay, so but that's prompted more by the context than by the word, perhaps. You're not necessarily translating the word, you're just looking where you found the word in the Torah, and it sounds like that's what the word might mean. Now, if you look at Unkelus, you see that Unkelus has a translation along those lines. If you look at Rashi and Masechet Tetza, which we put on the Mar Makomos. And the Rashi has a usage of Melechus Umnas. So the idea of an Umman, meaning again, a craftsman, a professional, somebody who's not just a stam, but who's doing things that are worthy of note. Sammy?
And that's also similarly steered to Rashi's other places.
Okay, explain.
Rashi in other places discusses, like by Baba Kama, the first one that I thought of, that in Baba Kama we were discussing about the difference between Nezek and Zoreh, where the Ruach helps. So the Gemara explains that the reason why on Shabbos you're chayv is because of Melechus Machshavos. And Rashi says because you fulfill your Machshavos.
Okay, so you're reading that Rashi quite possibly legitimately as saying that, it's a very beautiful compliment that I just gave you, that that maybe machshava means, therefore, in that context, that it's about your thought, meaning plan, and therefore that's different than umnes, that's different than... is there a way to translate machshavas even just from the word that it means something closer to umnes?
Could be a long.
Chashuva, right? So there's clearly an etymological relationship between the word we use to mean important and the word we use to mean thought. Things that are thought about, things that we are makshiv, are things that are important. So there's a connection between these words, but they mean also two separate things. So we could translate melechas machsheves as meaning a melacha that has chashivas, which maybe that is consistent with the idea of umnes, but that it's not necessarily machshava related in terms of intent. So that's what Sammy is addressing, that how could it be that Rashi could understand other uses of melechus machshavos to mean a plan if that's a different type of usage of the word machshava. So we'll have to see if there is a consistent theory here. Is there one definition of melechus machshavos, or could it possibly encompass a couple of different meanings? Hi.
Well, I mean, Tosso seemingly is much more consistent.
Okay, how are you finding the definition of Tosos specifically?
Tosos is more connected to like the way Rashi explained it. And
which Tosos are you referring to?
There are lots of them.
Pick one.
Let's see. The Tosos in Shabbos and Nemal is pretty explicit. He says that there's a difference, you know, the call for Kul versus, right, there's Machlokas from Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Dabashin and Miskaven is Usher or Mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Usser by Dover Shane Scavin de Arise of the Kol Torah Kula, but by Shabbos he only holds that it's Usser Midr Abanon because you need Melechus Machshavos, which you need the Kavan in order to make it de Arise. And since it's Dover Shane Scavin, it's not the Kavan, and therefore it's only Dover.
So you think Tosus is therefore assuming that Machshavos needs Kavan?
Yeah, and then he also has something similar in Shabbos where he says, he says that with, you know, without miskaven at all, so then anywhere it would be mutter, even where you don't need malachas machshavas, which implies that malachas machshavas is again connected to kavanah.
Okay. So we'll have to see if that's a different definition, is that a definition that can somehow be placed within the same context. So what we'll have to try to do today is try to come up with as many instances that we can see of Malachas Mashabes. And again, each one trying to figure out, is it an indisputable example of Malachas Mashabes, or is it a debated example, which does impact the extent to which we can use it for a theory, and see if they come together. We should also point out that there are still some nuances on both these themes, and that maybe also different malachos will relate to this idea differently. For example, we also see, in terms of seeing Mashabes as a thought process, in terms of a plan, it could also mean that we look to the purpose of the malacha. Now, you may recall we mentioned the thesis of Rabbi Nachman Zemba, and I wanted to explain that, and we made reference to this a little bit actually yesterday when we were talking about Mishamer, because the point came up again. So the Rambam, if we assume that the Rambam and other Rishonim, let's take Rashi for example, differ in the interpretation of how to call something an av or how to call something a tolda. So if the Rambam has a much broader definition of what's an av in general, and Rashi has a more limited definition, let's say, for example, just to use the first malacha that we talked about, right? So remember, we talked about Zareya at the very beginning. So the Gemara in Ayin Gimel Mipes has Zareya v'azomer v'noteya v'mavka markiv kula malacha achasei. And Rashi did not hold that all of those were avos. But the Rambam held that all of those were avos. And Menachem Zemba thought that had to do with seeing where Malachas Machsheves fits into the equation. That perhaps Malachas Machsheves has to do with the function of the Malacha, and that the Rambam feels that Malachas Machsheves defines a Malacha. A Malacha is completely created through Machsheva. So therefore, another action that shares the same tachlis as the Av becomes an Av, because the Av is purely a creation of Machshava. While Rashi would see Malachas Machsheves as somewhat of a clause, a condition within the Malacha. The Malacha exists independently. Malachas are actions on the Mishkan. But we're only chayiv if there are Machsheves. We're only chayiv if they also have that condition. And that therefore, when you have a Malach, you want to know if it's an Av or not. In order for it to be an Av, it has to not only share the intent, but it also has to have some commonality in terms of the Tzuru. It has to be somewhat the same type of action as the Av, because the definition of the Malach is not purely Machshav. Machshav is a condition. It's not the whole essence of the Malach. So that's an interesting theory he's advancing, and we'll come back to it again a little bit later because it also plays a role in some of the examples. But what he's arguing there is two things. First of all, that machshava means the purpose of the malacha. It means that malachos as a whole are centered on their intent. And then that there's a machlokis among the Rishonim as to whether malachas machshavas is core and definitional in terms of what a malacha is, or is it a condition? It's not the definition of a malacha. A malacha is the action in the Mishkan. But in order for that malacha to be chayiv, it has to be machshavas. So that's, again, a pretty important question to keep in mind when we look through some of these examples. And then we also know from our discussion about Zomer v'Tzarech L'Eitzim, so we saw there also that machshava is more important in some malachos than others. We saw that Tosfos talks about if somebody is, the Gemara refers to the case where somebody's pruning a tree, taking the wood, and it says that he's chayav for kotzer if he's interested in the wood. And Tosfos there asserts that this condition, that you have to be interested in the wood, is true according to everybody, even those who don't ponder malacha shein tzuchu l'gufa. Because there are certain malachos where their identity is contingent on a certain function, and it doesn't, it's not subject to normal rules of malacha shein tzuchu l'gufa. So that was one example. And Tosfos raised also the case of dosh, that perhaps if you're extracting something and you're not interested in the substance at all, that's not just a general issue, that's a specific issue that the malacha requires that machshava in order to exist. If you have no interest in that which you're extracting, maybe that's not called the malacha at all, and we talked about that possibly being extrapolated to a number of other malachas as well. But just it's important just to keep that in mind also, that there are some machshava issues which are general, applicable to all malachas as a whole, but there are some malachos which have a unique machshava relationship that if a certain intent is lacking, they may not even be defined as a malacha at all. So with those guidelines in place, let's try now to list what we know, what we can come up with, about different examples of malachas machshavas and see if we can put it together into something meaningful. So thanks to Corey Fuchs, I made sure that we have a magic marker today so we can keep track of everything we come up with. So let's put up here on the board. Somebody help me out. There's quite a few examples. It's at least in the double digits, at least in the middle double digits, where we find malachas machshavas coming up, whether it's in the Gemara itself, whether it's in Rishonim, whether it's in Achronim. Tell me any example that you find. Sammy.
Well, this one is a little bit of an opposite, but the Gemara in Hagiga, where it's talking about Chofer Vitzayach La'Athar, where it's
right.
That it's not.
That's all. That's equally relevant, right? You know, when you find that Malachas Machshavas is playing a role. So what's the focus there?
Chofer Vitzayach La'Athar.
Right, so what's the focus there? Because it is Mekalkil.
Well, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So we're assuming that's going even, that Gemara is going even according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct.
So that's one example. Yeah. Right. Essentially, we'll have to come back to go into more detail about that, but let's write this down. So one case that we have is Mekalkil. Right? That if you are doing something that is destructive, so that sounds like pretty much directly from the Gemara, although this is what to talk about. That is a lack of malachas machshavas. Okay, so we're up to one so far. What else? What else is invoked in the context of malachas machshavas? Sammy?
I think davar she'enu miskaven.
Okay, so davar she'enu miskaven, right? That was the one that you just saw from the Tosfos that you mentioned. Now the problem is, not the problem, but just something to clarify, is that definitely an issue of malachas machshavas? No, right? How do we know that it's not?
Because davar she'enu miskaven is a cultural concept.
Oh, right. So that, first of all, is a major issue. That davar she'enu miskaven is not something limited to Shabbos. So that would seem to indicate that it's not an issue of malachas machshavas, except that we saw the Rishonim invoke that it could be. That it could be that even though it's true that b'chol Torah kula is what to talk about exempting an unintentional consequence, that maybe when it comes to Shabbos, it's a level lower. So whatever your position is, b'chol Torah kula, maybe when it comes to Shabbos, you're even more ready to exempt a davar she'enu miskaven, whether it's by shifting to a deraisa to a derabanan, or from chayav to patur, or whatever it is, but that Shabbos has a component, this is what Tosfos invokes, right? That the fact that malachas machshavas is the guiding point when it comes to Shabbos, that certainly plays a role in how davar she'enu miskaven is going to be considered. And we talked a little bit about the Reb Chaim about that, where Reb Chaim asserts that, we're not going to get into it now, but that malachas machshavas causes davar she'enu miskaven to be defined totally differently in the context of Shabbos than other things. So basically, we'll put that on our list, and in terms of whether we're sure that it's a function of malachas machshavas, so we'll say that, on the one hand, not exclusively, because it applies to Kotor Kula, but it seems very likely that Malachas Machshavas has something to say about davar she'enu miskaven. Okay, Jonathan?
Say Grumma.
Grumma, so that's an interesting one. Now, Grumma, it's hard to know exactly where Grumma plays a role,
Rav is probably associated with another idea, right?
We'll put it here in the secondary space. But we'll put it on the list and we'll come back to it, because it's probably associated with another concept. Sammy? So like yoga, yeah?
Subsegration,
that's where you find the Brahma connected.
Right? Segration is an extension of Davarshana Miskabe. So clearly this is all one example. Right? But that maybe
the idea that Segration puts something back into the Chiyuv list
may also have a Malachas Moshavis connection, even though again that's also an issue that you find B'chala Tarakula, so we're not sure how much weight to give to Malachas Machshavas, but it seems likely that it's a part of the discussion. Sammy?
Okay, so, say number two.
Malachas Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. All right, here also, is that indisputably Malachas Machshavas? Sorry? Probably only for Shabbos, right? We saw there is a Tosfos in Sanhedrin talks about whether maybe it should be relevant to Shvi'as also, maybe not. The Tosfos comes out probably not that way. It's probably only a Shabbos issue. But even if we agree that it's a Shabbos issue, so that moves it closer to the Sugya than Davarshein Miskabe, that's correct. But is there still some room to argue? There is a little bit, right? You could say, and different Tosfos can sound like you're saying different things about this, you could say that it's a Malachas Moshavis issue, or you could say that it's a Mishkan issue, which may not be the same thing. Right? It may not necessarily be Malachas Moshavis might be one consideration, but there could also be a consideration that everything has to follow the Mishkan, and the Mishkan has a certain surah, and that might be separate from Malachas Moshavis. So do you want to comment on that?
I was going to say, I think the Tosfos
Right.
So that could be a completely different version of what Malachim Shri Chaguf is about.
Now that may also impact, even though that's not consistent with blaming it on that Tosfos, that may also get to the question of which, or actually it is a little bit, a question of what definition of Malachim Shri Chaguf you have. Is it a Malacha that is not following the Mishkanian model? Or is it a malacha that's negative? If it's a malacha that's negative, one might associate that more with some conception of what malachas machshavas means, as opposed to a Mishkanian model.
Sorry,
I'm going
to
follow
up.
Same.
That's what's making
faith with two issues.
Right. So Tosfos, it's a little bit hard to necessarily read them consistently, but that possibly is relevant there as well. Gil. That's interesting. So is that, are there those who say that that is Shlaim Shaso? The Gemara has its own limud for that. Is that associated with Malachas Machshavas?
It would seem specifically? So, because the manner in which it's done, it can be done specifically in a chashuv way by one person, you're making it less so by doing it for two people.
But is there somewhat, is that an idea that the Gemara or the Rishonim say explicitly, or is that
just a thing?
Okay, so we'll put this in this column over here, because we're not sure if that's necessarily an example, but we'll take note of it.
Does that go under Shinoi, or is it own?
So that's also a question. So what exactly, we're going to get to the sugya. I want to get to the sugya right after we finish the Dura de Pas, so we can spend some time on it. But so whether or not it's really an issue of Shabbos, I have to see. It's not so clear that it's not a Ptura by other halachas as well. So we'll have to look at that a little bit more. We'll put it into the opposite corner for now. Okay, Jonathan.
Just to guess me on the offering.
Amir al-Nafri, see that's also an issue where you find the B'chol Torah. So Amir al-Nafri also is an Isser D'Rabbanan. So you want to say the fact that it's Mutter Man
HaTorah? It's different on Shabbos.
Okay, so you see that's something that we should also address. Right? So let's also keep track here of, what's the right word for it, let's say possible distractions. Okay, so what I mean by possible distractions, I don't mean to say your point of distraction, I mean to say that when we're trying to work through the different ingredients here, and we find unique Shabbos halachos. Right, so some of the suggestions that have been brought forward right now are because you've seen something in the Gemara and the Rishonim. But some of the suggestions are suggestions. Right? So what prompts you to make a suggestion that something is Malachas Machshavas related? So one reason you might say it is because if it's unique to Shabbos, that might be a clue that it's Melechus Machshavas related. So what I mean by distractions is, let's think for a minute, just before we go further, what other reasons are there that something might be unique to Shabbos besides Melechus Machshavas? Do you want to comment on that?
I was going to say, part of this distraction category is also times that you might use Melechus or Machshavas in a way that
doesn't mean the same
thing. Not necessarily tied to this, which could be whole Gemara discussion around, or the Tosfos discussion around categorizing the Machlokas by different ways of looking at Hashgacha. About whether it's
different ways looking at what?
That she had watering the ground. Whether it's Surya or Arisha.
The Machshava or Maisa.
Or Maisa might not be necessarily the same Machshavas that we're talking about all other.
Right, it might not be, or it might be. Right, but that's a good question. I put it here for you to see this complicated formula. This means Melechus Machshavas not equal to Melechus Machshavas. So, I'm putting this right. So, Melechus Machshavas not equal to Melechus Machshavas. So, that's one possible distraction. And maybe the words that we see may not mean the same thing. It may not necessarily mean that this concept is being invoked. What's another possible distraction before we have other examples? So, we just saw just now that the Mishkan doesn't necessarily have to mean the same thing. Right? That it could be that if we're looking at the Mishkan, so Melechus Machshavas itself comes from the Mishkan. But that doesn't mean that everything the Mishkan teaches us is a Melechus Machshavas Yisod. So it could be, for example, we just mentioned a minute ago, that Melechus Shemitzrich L'Gufa might not be about Melechus Machshavas, it may just be about failing to meet the Mishkanian model. So you're still on the distraction column? Or?
I don't know, I hope
so,
not.
So I want to just mention one more distraction before we go on, because it's relevant to what you just brought up a minute ago. That another possible distraction, now you could argue that any of these distractions are not distractions, they're all also related to Melechus Machshavas. It's a valid possibility too, but at least let's identify what they might be. So also the whole theory that we developed at the very beginning of the year, that Shabbos is Maisa-focused, and that Shabbos is focused on what you are doing more than the results you are bringing about. So that also impacts Halachos, and that also sometimes means Shabbos will be treated differently than other areas. So that could also confuse us sometimes, because that might be the reason for certain exceptions. So for example, just what Jonathan has just brought up, so in terms of Amir al-Aqam, so that whether or not that's really unique to Shabbos is arguable in itself. But the point that the heter of Amir al-Aqam, Minat Torah, the point that Minat Torah, it's mutter to ask Minat Torah to do melacha for you. So is that about Melechus Machshavas? Or maybe it's about this idea, that's how the Achronim had developed it, that Shabbos is about your doing an action. And if you're not doing an action, it's mutter Minat Torah. So maybe that's a different idea than Melechus Machshavas. So these are some points to keep in mind if we're going to look for examples based on unique Shabbos halachos. Maybe it's about Melechus Machshavas. Maybe it's about one of our other possible causes. Maybe there's different ways to read any of that. Okay, so now, so what other possible examples do we have? Sammy?
Shogeg.
So, sorry?
Shogeg by Shabbos.
So you have to express it a little bit better. Because shogeg is an exemption called tarakula.
No, so it seems that Tosos and Rashi may have a machlokas on. I mean, this is what I was thinking during Seder, that perhaps a machlokas about how they understand Melechus Machshavas in a certain case because they feel that it is the same thing as shogeg or it is not the same thing as shogeg.
So which Rashi does it come
from? I think it's in Sadi Zayin and the Tosos on Ayin Beis.
Okay.
Right, about chata, you were thought to be chotech the machubar, and then you were chotech chatalish. So Rashi and Tosos have machogas, whether it's, you know, you were cutting the same thing, or whether you were cutting a different thing. Right, so Tosos says that you thought that this thing was machubar, but it ended up being talish. And Rashi says that you wanted to cut, you know, this machubar thing, and you cut that talish thing. Right? So Tosos argues on Rashi, and he explains that, right, he explains what he says, and at the end he says that it's exactly Doma to Shogeg by the rest of Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda, which sounds like he's trying to say that the Heter of Melechus Machshavas or meaning the idea of lachas machshavos is extremely connected to the idea of shogeg. It's very similar.
Okay, that's interesting. I think the point that you're bringing up using shogeg really links to two separate points here. One, the sugya you're talking about in Sadi Zion. So that also brings up an issue in general where you do an action, even if it's a full-blown melacha. What I was about to say is if you're doing something which is different than what you intended to do. Right? Lo is avin machshavto. Let's say you threw something dalad amos, right? The Gemara talks about. So what's the problem? Why should it be not necessarily malacha? Because in that case, you wanted to throw at 8. So you had a plan that didn't come up. So that's an example also which seems to be connected to malachas machshavos. Yeah, no, that's different.
Right.
So, but the example you're talking about now also is misasik, right? So the Gemara increases, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's all back and forth there, but at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, Shabbos has an exemption of misasik, and misasik being even a lower level of awareness than shogeg. And a person who really is going about his day and happens to perform an action without any awareness. And so a shogeg, and if a person forgets that it's Shabbos and he turns on a light, or he forgets that he's not allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, that's a shogeg. And for a shogeg, you're chai of the korban. But misasig, you're not chai of the korban. Misasig is the lowest level. It's where you're involved with other things. You're not even paying attention to your action. So that could be, at least according to one opinion of the Gemara, a function of Malachas Machshavos. We spoke about it a little bit earlier in the year. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger has a tshuva, controversial tshuva, where he says that Misasik is still considered to be a Maisa Aveira, which is something that you're not chayav for. It's a whole debate whether he's correct or not. But that's another exclusion. Okay, so there are many other examples, and we'll come to that hopefully in a few minutes. And I want to hear some more suggestions. But let's say we only have these four examples. Let's say this was all we ever saw in terms of malachas machshavos. But it means davar sheino miskaven is pater. It means the malachas sheino shuchu legufa is pater. It means misasek is pater. And it means your plan didn't come off the way you intended is pater. Could you use those four to develop a coherent theory of what malachas machshavos means?
I mean, they're all connected.
Meaning intent.
Yeah.
Right? If this was the only discussion, if this was the whole story of what malachas machshavos was, it would seem that it's purely intent-focused. And if at any time there's some type of deficiency in your intent, that's a problem of malachas machshavos. And even though there are other areas of the Torah where intent makes a difference, and even though intent in general in jurisprudence outside of Torah is a factor, so this is not really an innovation in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. This is nothing so unique to Shabbos. Maybe Malachas Machshavos just tells us that intent is much more fundamentally regarded. Sorry, Alan. That maybe it's telling us that intent plays an even bigger role. In other words, it's basically a quantitative statement. This is not a new idea being introduced into Hilchos Shabbos. This is just an idea being given more weight. And we find that intent is important all the time. And that's why, especially in this first example we mentioned, right, davar sheino miskaven is not unique to Shabbos. And that's a machlokas b'chol Torah kula between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. But it seemed to be pretty likely that Shabbos has a particular relationship to davar sheino miskaven because of malachas machshavos. So if that was the only example, again, that would be what it means. It means that this is not a new idea. This is just an intensification of the role of intent when it comes to Shabbos. Malacha Shenitzurich Lagufa probably also, although a little bit differently. Right? It means that you're doing the action intentionally, but you don't intend for it to match the Malacha. So that's also a lack of intent. Your purpose in doing it is separate from the purpose of the Malacha. So it's a different kind of intent disconnect. Misasek, you don't intend to be doing the Malacha in the first place. Okay? By the way, we also, when we talked about segregation, you may recall, Davershin Miskabin, we did see that there were those who connect these two ideas, who think that Davershin Miskabin is a type of Misasek. You're going about action A, and it brings about action B. That's the type of Misasek. You're going about your day, and you happen to do a Malacha. And lowest Abig Machshavto, that's another twist on the intent idea, but it's saying that if the malacha that you did was lacking intent in the sense that you were trying to do something else, so maybe that's also a tour for malachas machshavos. So again, if these were the examples we had, if this was the whole story, so then it sounds very good. This is all about the machshavos hagavra, let's say. Right, this is all about the intent of the person who is operating. But there are many other examples. I said we get certainly well into the middle double digits. But the one so far that we put in this column, so Makalka, is that a function of intent? If you're doing a destructive action, is that, can you connect that to intent at all? Sammy?
We could.
Okay.
If you're taking on the, if you're saying that it's your intent is not the proper intent for a malacha, so the kalka is not considered a proper intent for a malacha based on the Mishkan, where everything is positively intended. So therefore, it's
right. So that would be one way to do it. Right. That if you say that Shabbos by its nature is the whole concept of malacha is a positive constructive action, therefore your negative intent is another form of malacha shenitzurich lagufa, which we have seen, right? We've seen that mekalkel seems to be on a continuum with malacha shenitzurich lagufa. It's a more extreme type that even Rabbi Yehuda patters, but essentially it's on that continuum. And if that's the case, you could say similar. You could say that Makalkel is an intent issue. Parenthetically, while we're talking about that point, the Malacha Shenitzurich Lagufa, so you may recall also that we did mention, we talked about that sugya, that there was at least one voice in the later Sfarim that was willing to entertain the idea that Rabbi Yehuda, who is Machaya from Malacha Shenitzurich Lagufa, now, why is he different then? If it's Lach Machshavos means no Malacha Shenitzurich Lagufa, why does he differ? So there are a number of reasons why he would differ, but we did see one opinion that maybe he doesn't accept the whole idea of Lach Machshavos, right, which would be quite a chiddush. We kind of take it for granted. But maybe it's not unanimous in the Gemara. Maybe there is an opinion in the Gemara that Malacha Machshavos is not a consideration in Shabbos. As we mentioned at the time, this is the Yevamos Unity topic because it has to do with being Doresh Smuchin. To what extent do you find significance in the fact that different topics of the Torah are next to each other, such as the Mishkan and Shabbos? So since there is an opinion of the Gemara in the first part of the Yevamos that we only do that in Sefer Dvarim, so maybe we don't do that in Sefer Shmos, and maybe we could reject the whole concept of Malachas Machshavos. That's obviously an unusual opinion, but maybe there is even room for debate about that. Avram?
I find it interesting that the Rambam literally holds Malachas Machshavos to Lukas Chaya, still goes to Makakos Pater.
Correct, right. So you can't say for everyone that it's going to line up that way. You can't say for everyone that Malachas Machshavos to Lukas is directly a function of Malachas Machshavos, and if you hold from one, you hold from the other. Because there's many reasons not to say that. But the Rambam certainly doesn't seem to allow for such an interpretation, because he does hold from Malachas Machshavos, at least in some examples. But at the same time, is Machaya from Malachas Machshavos.
So just like the avakapas just means more objective, it has a destructive result.
It's more objectively destructive than a malachashen shukhulukha, which may be negative in your focus, but it's not objectively destructive.
So it just sounds like that's focusing more on the result than the intent.
Could be. So then that's the case, it's going to take it a little bit away from this kind of category, right? Which is probably the way to read it. Rav Asher Weiss, for example, has a very nice discussion of a lot of the different examples of this. So he asserts that he thinks Lakalkil, by its nature, does not fit into this category. And it's one of the reasons why we have to have a little bit of a different model than thinking Malachas Machshav is purely about intent. He notes that the Kiryas Sefer says that Mekalkel is about intent. Because, a little bit less elegantly than the way Sammy said it before, really a different type of theory, that if somebody's doing something destructive, he probably doesn't have Kavana Gemurah, doesn't have real intent. As Rav Asher Weiss notes, it's very difficult to say. And we certainly know there are many people in the world who are very purposefully destructive. Very intentionally destructive. The idea that nobody would be Mekalkel with full Kavana, it's hard to say, but it's really hard. I think the way we were saying before, that Sammy was saying before, is closer to being a valid connection between Kavana and Mekalkel. To say that Mekalkel means they're not Mechaving is probably a little bit of a tough sell. Gil?
When he says Mekalkel is about Kavana, if you're Mekalkel with Kavana, you're destructive. Meaning,
if you're you want to be destructive.
Then it's a tikkun.
Yeah, but that right. Then it's
no, your desire. You're a destructive person. Your desire is to mess up things.
Then you're doing it constructively.
Not necessarily. Anything you want to do is constructive.
Yeah.
Does it make?
Why is
tikkun? We've never seen that definition so far. We've seen a tikkun means that you bring about a positive result to something. The fact that you want to do something negative has never been our definition of the tikkun. And that's where we got into the whole Malachashem Shukhulukha issue and Tosfos and the like to begin with. Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly possible that your desire is something negative, and that's not going to make it into a tikkun. It has to have some type of positive effect on the world. And Mekalkel, as we see, is even more Muslim than Malachashem Shukhulukha. So I don't think we have any reason to assume that what you want is a tikkun. But, okay, so maybe this itself may possibly link into this column, and may not. It may tell us that there is a whole new strand to think about. So now let's try to see for other things on this list, because there are probably at least 7 or 8 other examples you can find. And that's not getting into the cases where Malachas Machshavas is a chiyuv, or Malachas Machshavas gets you in trouble. We'll see there's some examples of that as well, some of which we've seen so far this year. But even before coming on to that, you could think of, but there are at least 6 or 7 other cases where Malachas Machshavas is a tour. Hi.
Not really a kata, but there's no tikkun, like the Yerushalmi with the borer. It says you can do borer all day, but unless you do the whole thing, you didn't really...
Okay, that's an interesting example. So that there's no tikkun, that just might mean it's not a malacha in the first place. You know, we don't have to know what's a malacha. Maybe it just doesn't get defined as anything. But you could use another example from Borer, possibly, where we actually saw the words Malachas Machshavas invoked.
Yeah.
Anyone recall a Rishon invoking the words Malachas Machshavas in the context of Borer? Or get to it on this morning's Marmakal? Okay, I'll let you think about that and come back to it. How about Rabbeinu Chananel, about La'alter? We had a heter for Borer and La'alter. Right, so we saw 2 different ways of looking at why La'alter is mutter, either because it is not Derech Breira, or because it is positively Derech Achila. And when it came to Derech Achila, so we saw some of the Rishonim said, they had a language like a Ramban had, because heter tarchina be'isra lo tarchina, and the person is not involved in a malacha, He's involved in eating. He's involved in doing permissible actions. And the Rabbeinu Hananel was of that school, but he invokes the term Malachas Machshavas, that Achila is not Malachas Machshavas. So that that idea, we'll call it the La'alter, but the idea of Achila not being Malachas Machshavas, meaning that it's something beyond your normal everyday life. It's something of significance for a lasting purpose rather than your immediate functioning. However you want to extrapolate from that, it's another possible example of Malachas Machshavas. What about, here's a good example, what about Kalach or Yad? Right, if you do something, let's say with your left hand, with a Shinui, so is that called Malachas Machshavas? Right, so still be awesome to draw bottom. The fact that it's Patam and Atorah, right, that could be considered a Malachas Machshavas point. Hi?
Would it depend on like if the Malachas Machshavas is, if the action is like an important action or if the outcome is an important outcome?
Oh, so it's very well meant. So for example, if you look, I saw the Marmar Komos, if you get up to it, so the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokek in Eben Ezer talks about writing. It says, writing something with your left hand, assuming you're a righty, no offense meant for the lefties, but somebody normally writes with his right hand to write with his left hand. So that's an issue of Kalach HaYad, they say specifically for Shabbos. Because Shabbos has Malachas Machshavas as a consideration. Now, Shinui, which is apparently the same idea, Shinui is an idea that you find B'chol Torah Kulo. However, and this is, I think, what Gil was getting at just now, there are different types of Shinui. There's a Shinui where the result is unusual, and there's a Shinui where the action you do, the Kalach HaPoel, is unusual. So perhaps the shinui in the effect, that's something that we find in B'chol Torah Kulo. But the shinui in the action, maybe that's specifically a Shabbos idea. Now again, that may be Malachas Machshavas related, the way the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokek assert. Or it could be Maisa related, right? Maisa Malacha, that if we find that Shabbos has a focus on the Maisa, specifically, maybe that's one. And we also saw when we developed our theory in Borer, why Borer is mutter under all three conditions, and specifically under all three conditions, as we suggested, because it attacks, it invokes the Shinoi in three different ways, that it makes sure there's no common element between the Malacha and what you're doing. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of the details of what's a Shinoi and what's not, but the bottom line being, Shinui is an idea that you find B'chol Torah Kulo, but it seems that in Shabbos, it's more broadly invoked. So if you write with your left hand, that's about how you do the action, even if the result comes out the same. That may be unique to Shabbos, and maybe it's unique to Shabbos because of Kalach HaYad, because of Malachas Machshavas. Okay, any other examples for this list? Well, what about, have you ever heard the suggestion that residents who have to work on Shabbos, medical residents who have to work on Shabbos, should write in invisible ink?
Kayam.
Right, Kayam. So Kayam is a mission on Kuf Beis. It's on the Marmar Komos list as well. Right, that malacha that doesn't last, you're not chayav for. So, Einam is Kayamis. So, that may also, in the understanding of some, may possibly also be a function of Malachas Machshavas. And then there's a discussion, because Kayemis means it doesn't last at all, it disappears right away, or lasts a little bit, but then eventually fades away, which, you know, may make our invisibility problematic. Rashba, who's also on that list, you see the Rashba says that if it lasts for a little while, that's called miskayemis. So again, we try to use this as a backdoor to introduce a lot of the concepts that we may not get to. So that's a concept important to be aware of as well. What's another example of something we spoke about earlier in the year, where you find at least one Rishon invoking Melechus Machshevus in a very interesting way? Me'iri, which Me'iri are you talking about?
Is it for me, morally we understood it as a Petur, but one of the Rishonim mentioned it as a reason to do Mechayim?
Well, the truth is, I don't know about the Me'iri specifically, we find a number of other Rishonim saying that, but that'll be, let's say, a third column. And we'll, maybe we'll get to that today, maybe we'll get to it next week. But there's actually quite a few examples where you find of Melechus Machshevus invoked as a Chiyuv. The truth is probably starting from the Gemara in Bava Kamma about Zorah, but extending it to other examples as well. But earlier in the year, it's worth refreshing our memory, especially as we get closer to Pesach. Right, so we know that one of the... Sorry?
Imagine Pesach, so I'm assuming God is more.
No, actually not. But
in the Rosh Hashanah
time? Nope. But what I'm thinking about is shiurim. Right? Pesach is a huge focus on shiurim, and the sugi of chatzi shiur is very much a Pesach sugi. Right? So we know that there is a whole question in general when it comes to achila. So there is a tour of onish if you have less than a shiur. Right? So the Torah says that you're chayav malchus for eating chazir, only if it's a kezayis enough. Less than a kezayis, you put. So we saw that it's not really clear from the Gemara whether or not that sugi applies to Shabbos in the same way. Rashi in the Daled Aleph was the one who most explicitly said it's extended to Shabbos, and other Rishonim disagreed. Other Rishonim agreed for different reasons. So among them is the Rashbam. The Rashbam of Baba Basra and Afnan Hay, it's not the Baruch Kamos list also. And the Rashbam of Baba Basra says that if you are lacking a shear, you are lacking in chashivos. And therefore you are lacking in melechus machshevus. Which is a really fascinating idea. So in other words, in that case, the shear is unique to Shabbos because it's a function of melechus machshevus. That opens up a whole other aspect of discussion. I mentioned last week it was the art side of Rashi of Kambiavna, Golvich, Tzadik Levracha. So in the Sefer Zikaron, it was published after he passed away. So Rabbi Shlomo Wormenschlit, who later came out with a beautiful Sefer on Shabbos, but earlier wrote about Melechus Machshevus for that Sefer. So in his essay there about Melechus Machshevus, so he noted that the Rashiva told him in the conversation that he pointed out that there is a Sefer Achinuch that says the issue of getting a tattoo. So the issue of the rights of writing a tattoo. So that applies even if you're writing one letter. So where do you get the issue of two letters by Shabbos? Well, I guess what he was suggesting? Melechus Machshevus. And so it's similar to the Rashbam in basically saying that shir takes on a different importance or even a different level when Shabbos is involved. So it's two different aspects of shir Melechus Machshevus. The Rashbam saying that shir is important because of Melechus Machshevus, and this tattoo point meaning that the shir itself is higher because of Melechus Machshevus. Now here it's important to keep in mind that we also spoke about at the beginning of the year that Ksiva might be a little bit of a complicated example. Right? Because the Mishnah says explicitly, Hakosei Shteyosios, and you may recall there's a Tosus who raises the questions, Tosus and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the very short Tosus that raises the question without answering it. Tosus says, sorry? Right, so Tosfos says, how come some shiurim are listed in the Mishnah and some aren't? And many, many Achronim, who finally started worrying about this question 500 years later, we mentioned the time nobody answered this question for 500 years, and all of a sudden everyone says the same answer, that maybe there's a difference between Shiurim and Shabbos in general. And the Shiurim mentioned in the Mishnah. There may be certain things mentioned in the Mishnah, Hakoseh, Shneosios, Saoreg, these things where the two is mentioned in the Mishnah, that is fundamental to the Malacha. If you're lacking that, that's not called Chatzi Shir, that's nothing. So Kosev is really a whole different dimension in terms of the Shir. And I think we mentioned at the time that the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he points out that the Rashbam says lacking a Shir is a problem of Malachas Machshevas. The things mentioned in the Mishnah, lacking those numbers, is a problem in Malachas. So if you carry something that's too small, or you bake something that's too small, you're lacking in Machshevas. If you write one letter, or you weave one strand, you're lacking in Malachas. The Malach itself is lacking. So it's a more fundamental type of problem. So there's a lot of room to try to figure out what exactly the impact of that is. But we also discussed that within this theory that so many Achronim said, Tosus is trying to make this point, that if you only write one letter, or you only weave one strand, it's not even a malacha at all. So there were, say, two different theories as to why that is. Some said that it was a chashivas issue, that it's just not significant. And some said that it's an issue of eino miskayin, that it's just not going to last. You're going to weave together one strand. There's no lasting contribution there. So all of that could somehow be a grandchild of the Malachas Machshavas issue, potentially. All of that emerges from the Malachas Machshavas issue. And just to throw in a little bit more complicated, love, Dan, you want to comment on that?
Well, not necessarily on that, but I don't know if we spoke about this today, but like maybe partnership in the Malachas Machshavas, especially with Zora, with the wind.
Oh, so over there, that's interesting, that we'll probably get to more next week because it's going to open up a whole third column. There, that is coming to be Machayev, right? So you should have thought, in that case, you should have been partner because of your lack of full involvement in doing the Malacha, and the Gemara there invokes Malachas Machshavas. So we'll have to probably fill it in next week, but that's really our third column situations where you're chayiv because of Malachas Machshavas rather than being pater because of it. Now this whole distinction between a chatzi shir and a chatzi malacha. So you may remember that one of the examples that was given is, let's say you carry something that's too small. So that's a chatzi shir. Right? The shir of carrying is say a grover, so you carry something that's too small, it's a chatzi shir. What if you carry this chair, two amos? Right, so that is the way the Meiri and many others, and probably Rashi, understood. That's different. That's a chatzi malacha. That's even less. Right, that's probably a distinction between these two things. That carrying two amos is a chatzi malacha. It's really nothing, at least on the level of Minatora. While carrying 100 feet, they're carrying something that's too small, that's a chatzi shir. They're probably two separate concepts. That's the way Rashi sounds like. Rashi doesn't explicitly say this, but you can answer up a contradiction in Rashi's by making that observation. The Meiri says that. That is a popular view. However, one major regional doesn't say that, if you recall, spoken at the time. The Rambam. The Rambam links the two. The Rambam says these are the same type of, he puts them in the same category. Carrying two amos or carrying something too small, that's all chatishir according to him. So to go back to Rav Nachum Zemba's point, Rav Nachum Zemba said, yeah, because less than a shir is a lack of machshevas. According to the Rambam, malachas machshevas is everything. So carrying two amos is nothing. Carrying something too small is also nothing, because if it's lacking machshevas, it's lacking everything. But according to Rashi,
Machsheves is a condition. It can still be a malacha.
Without machsheves, it's just not chayav.
So therefore, if you're carrying less than a shear, that's a malacha that you're not chayav for. It's a malacha that's lacking machsheves. While if you're carrying two amos, that's mamish nothing. That's
not a malacha at all. So by making that point, he's really invoking two different usages of the word machsheves.
Right? Machsheves meaning that the intent of the malacha is the whole definition,
and that less than a shear is
not machsheves. Presumably that's not about intent, that's presumably about importance.
So either you could say that's very pilpulistic and it's therefore an illegitimate mixing of the two meanings, or maybe the concept is broad enough to encompass those two meanings. Hi, Mike.
You say the same thing by the word malakama. It sounds very, very similar.
Okay.
In terms of the lack of the chashivus and of the action.
You're talking about which gemara malakama at Zohar? Okay, could you say it should be a lack, but there again, Melechus Machsheves is coming in the opposite direction. Melechus Machsheves is coming to be Mechayim.
Right.
So how does it compare here?
The lack of shear, in terms of the lack of Chashivas in the action.
Except that it's hard to draw the comparison because it's going in a different direction. So Melechus Machsheves is what's getting you more chilled. We have to see if it fits. So just, before we run out of time, let's just throw in a few more examples and we'll see if we have any degree of a cohesive theory here. So another example that's also talked about, it's also on the list, is that there's a halacha that's also unique to Shabbos. So we just talked about carrying less than a shear. So what happens if you're carrying something less than a shear? So normally it's a chatzi shear. But you choose to carry it, and we all know when we receive a gift in the mail, and we're so excited because it's in a huge box, and then we open it up, and there's tons of styrofoam in it, and the actual item takes up 1/10 of the space of the box. So what if you're carrying an item like that? You're carrying something in a kli, and the item that you're carrying is less than a shear, but the kli is more than a shear. So you're potter, even though you're carrying out more than a shear.
The footnote in his essays on Tanya Yitzchak and Shabbos has the whole discussion about how this shows the nature of Shabbos as being particularly focused on the emes, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But that also is very possibly a, we'll call it just what Saul Dukli, for lack of a better term here. That also is a possible example of a Meleches Machsheves exemption, that since the Machsheves is only on the item you're interested in, the Kli is considered secondary by function of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore it's not counted in the shear of the carrying. Another example we'll just mention quickly before we break through today. I mention also that Rabban, the Rashba and Gittin, which is also on the Marmar Kamos. So they talk about the tour of Ksav al Gabe Ksav.
We'll write it here in the same space to make a point.
Ksav al Gabe Ksav, so that you're exempt if you write on top of letters that are already there. So these Rishonim assert that really, why should you be exempt? Why don't we say that the writing that you did takes over the old writing, and therefore that counts.
Therefore, it should be considered writing. So they understand that it's a Shabbos issue again, that it is a lack of chashivas, and therefore, Shabbos is not going to not going to be chayav. Jonathan?
Say, he told me off our tofen.
See, that's interesting in itself. Probably not specifically in tofen after tofen, but according to those achronim who we saw, that if you believe that ein tochen archer tochen is not about tochen, but it's about all malachas, so we saw that maybe the Bamagon, right, said that, the Chazanish explicitly didn't say that, right, but if you believe that this is a principle that all malachas have such an idea, that ein blank acher blank, so maybe it's a way of saying that only the first action has machsheves, and any subsequent
reiterations, maybe doesn't have machshavas. It's an interesting possible, I don't know if anyone says it like that, but it's an interesting possible thought. Another possible idea is there is a Chidush Harim that was Melamed Zchus on why people let their children carry without an Eruv, based on the idea that maybe the Machshav of a Katan is not called the Melach of a Katan is not called Melachas Machshavas.
Does he focus
on Melachas Machshavas? So, probably more so, because it's interesting, the Chiddush Yerim, that point that you make, so other Svarim, like the Imre Bina, quote the Chiddush Yerim as saying this is a Shabbos idea in general, that the Melach of a Katan is not Melachas Machshavas. But as Rosh Weiss talks about this also, points out that really in the original Chiddush Yerim and his Shuvah, he's only talking about Hotzah. So he's assuming that Hotzah is uniquely vulnerable to this issue. But presumably it does mean Melach Machshavas. We did find in other areas that maybe it's exempted from some rules of Shabbos, but Melach Machshavas doesn't seem to be one of them because we've seen it coming up here a couple of times. Okay, so far we have four examples in this column, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more examples in this column. So that's 12 cases where we find Melachas Machshavas invoked. And we have a whole column that we haven't started yet, a column that we'll have to go into next week, but there's been some allusions to, where we find Melachas Machshavas as a obligating force. Everything till now is a force for Ptur. Right? All of these 12 examples are cases where Melachas Machshavas paters you. But there are also cases where Melachas Machshavas comes as a Machayev. Again, that can learn by the Kama, probably the most famous, a few other examples as well. But what can we do so far, or what will we have to wait to do a little bit, in order to develop a coherent theory? So we'll have to see if it's all one type of Melachas Machshavas, or are there different impacts of Melachas Machshavas? And that's something we'll probably have to wait for next week to learn a little bit. Again, if you look, Rosh Weiss has an essay about this where he talks about a lot of these examples, or all of these examples, in two places. He has it in the Sefer on the Chumash, in this week's Parsha. He also has it in the Sefer on Masechta Shabbos. And I think, again, that it's important for us to remember that if we are going to try to express a theory, so we have to be aware of the fact that almost all of these examples, with one or two exceptions, are subject to debate. So it's hard to sometimes speak with confidence knowing what Melachas Machshavas really encompasses if it could be that any one of these examples may be subject to argument. But these are all cases where at least one Rishon, for example, has invoked Melachas Machshavas as a dominant factor. It doesn't necessarily have to be that they all agree with each other. But it's somewhat instructive that these are all cases in which we have found Melachas Machshavas invoked and may tell us something about what the concept means. Avram?
What's the milk category again?
What's the milk category? So, right, the third category that we haven't done yet are the chiyuv.
Yeah.
Right, these are all p'turs. The issue, the separation between the two, is that the first four are much more amenable to a kavana theory. That they all seem to address a lack of intent. While the ones in this column are harder to fit into that model. Right? And most of these have to do with some type of a deficient action. Your intent might be 100%, but somehow the action is lacking in chashivas, let's say. We saw that Mekalkel was somewhat of a bridge concept, that Mekalkel probably belongs in this column, but you could make a case that Mekalkel goes better into the goals as well into the first column. But basically for now, roughly speaking, at least to give us enough to work with before we adjourn, we could say that all of these represent machshava as intent, and all of these represent machshavas as chashivas. And we'll have to see if there's more to say about that when we resume. All right, any questions about what we've done so far? Any attacks, any issues? Okay, God willing, we will pick up with Parsha tomorrow, multiple Parshios for tomorrow. We'll try to get that addressed tomorrow. It's very likely.